folks are still trickling in, so we'll give it just a minute while people connect. Okay, Councilmember Lucas. It's time for the opening. Yahweh, Councilmember Lucas, and I'm going to start with a brief
recording in progress.
A brief welcome, and we've just started recording. So greetings, everyone, and welcome to the July business meeting for the California Truth and Healing Council. The council will conduct business from approximately 1 to 3 p.m. and then hold open public comment from 3 to 4 p.m., as well as throughout the agenda. We also may take a short break halfway through the business meeting items so that the council can take a quick break and then come back to business. My name is Christina Snyder. I'm a member of the Dry Creek Rancheria Band of Pomo Indians and the tribal advisor for Governor Gavin Newsom. Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge that I'm joining you from the ancestral homelands of the Patwin peoples. I'm now going to briefly walk through some of the logistics for today's business meeting. First, we are recording the meeting and it's available for public participation via Zoom and dial-in. We also now have a new streaming service, so that is also available on tribalaffairs.ca.gov/CTHC/meeting. And so you can go to that website and you can find our new streaming service. And moving forward, all of the streaming will be on that site. We are in the middle of transition to a new contract because we've just started the new fiscal year. And so moving forward, they will be on that site. There's videos archived on CalSpan, which will no longer be hosting our live stream. But we will have all of those links available at that meeting page as well. For those interested in following the council, ongoing updates, including listening session recordings and listening session summary documents, are available at the California Truth and Healing Council updates blog at catruthandhealing, that's all spelled out, .com. You can also take a look at all of that. It's all consolidated at the Tribal Affairs community page, which is tribalaffairs.ca.gov/CTHC/community. And you can get updates for events by following the Governor's Office of the Tribal Advisor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Additional details, including meeting dates, agendas, and background information are available at tribalaffairs.ca.gov/CTHC. When we get to the public comment portion of any action agenda item or the public comment period, you can request to give public comment by raising your hand. And Justin, when we get to that portion, we'll explain how to do so. You can also email written comments at any time to info@catruthandhealing.com at your convenience. Now, before we begin, I'd like to remind participants that all of our council members, council staff, and many of you are members of the victim population in need of collective healing. So I ask that you engage with the council, our office, and each other with respect and with your whole heart in a healing mindset. So thank you again for joining us. And I'm now going to do a quick roll call. We'll start with the Central Region. Councilmember Khan is not available. Councilmember Kessler Mata?
Present.
Councilmember Macaro?
Here.
Councilmember Manzano is not here. Councilmember Burris?
Present.
Councilmember Perrone is not here. Councilmember Sisk?
Here.
And Councilmember Roberts is not present. For the Northern Region, Councilmember Bajorquez?
Here.
Councilmember Harper?
Here.
And Councilmember Giovanetti is not here. Councilmember Elliot Santos for the Southern Region is not here. Councilmember Lucas?
Here.
Councilmember Turner, not here, and Councilmember Phelps.
Here.
Councilmember Phelps, you are a voting member for today, and we have quorum with exactly 8 members. So we will move forward with the next agenda. agenda item. We already did the traditional opening before the recording. The next item is approval of the minutes. These didn't get to council members until today, so I'd like to table these until the next meeting, if that's okay. Okay. So then we'll go to the next item, council member update. So here's your opportunity to update the council with any outreach, any engagement you had with the community over the last month, or any thoughts that you have about the council. So if anybody would like to give updates, you can do so at this time.
Christina, point of clarification, would this be when we would report out about our the listening sessions from this week, or is that later?
That is the next agenda item.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, let me dig around.
Christina, I haven't done any follow-up on it yet, but I did receive an email just to let council members know from somebody that was reaching out as they saw that we were looking for a wellness practitioner. They wanted to just follow up to see if they could be of assistance. And I do need to respond to that email. So just to make council aware, and I'll forward that over to you as well when I do reach out, and I'll do that this afternoon.
Thanks, council member. And with that, we will be moving forward on trying to get a contract together. So we're thinking about how to do that process and how to engage the council itself too. So would like to also be a part of that conversation. Additional updates from the group? Councilmember Burris, you've unmuted. Do you have a?
Oh, no, sorry, I forgot to mute.
Great, okay, then we will move to the next agenda item. This is the public and community engagement and input, and we've moved this up in the agenda because it's always farther down on the agenda, but it's really critical, I think, to the work of this council to see that community input. And so this agenda item is where council members who have attended the regional listening sessions for the last week can inform the group about some of the highlights and key items that came out of those listening sessions and the thoughts that came out of those listening sessions. I'm also going to take some time to go through the listening session reports for previous months. So that everybody can kind of get up to speed if they haven't been following along, and then you'll know where to go to get those as well. And we've got, at this point, March, April, May, and June are posted with July in process at this time. So I'm gonna open it up for council members who were in attendance if they have any thoughts or reflections on the listening sessions from this week.
Sure, I can start with the central. Maybe a couple of things that stood out for me. I think it might have been Tuesday or Wednesday, losing track of my days. There were kind of three main things that I heard from the participants in the call. We were at about somewhere between 18 and 20 participants. I feel like we heard about the need for the state to ensure that it's differentiating between Native people in general who happen to be within the state, and then California Indians in particular. So this is a one part data collection issue that folks were interested in making sure the state is kind of doing in their own work. So this is kind of a broad recommendation, I think, for us to take that into consideration. Relatedly, well, actually not exactly relatedly, there's an access issue that came up, which is particularly that folks are concerned about being able to access private, county, state, and federal lands, right, that are held or controlled by those different entities, and wanted to also make sure that there are tribal liaisons in place, right, at all of the various state agencies, especially so that I guess in this case, we were talking specifically about the state park liaison and thinking about the continuity. If the person who's currently in that post leaves, what happens? How are we training and preparing folks to engage with tribes at the state level, right? And related to that was the need to address and consider the capacity of tribes to engage in consultation processes when the state asks or reaches out to talk about these things. There was some need for funding, essentially, that especially unrecognized tribes may have to be able to support the infrastructure and just have the capacity to engage on those matters in a timely fashion. So those are a couple of the things that stood out for me from this past week.
Would any other council members who attended the other sessions like to add anything? Okay. For the record, it looks like Council Member Turner has also joined. And Council Member Turner, is that correct for roll call purposes?
Yes, sorry, I was trying to see
Great.
You. Okay.
Great, okay, so I'm then gonna go through some of the prior month's listening sessions. I don't know what would be most helpful, but I think to capture all of the comments, given they're slightly different, I'd like to go through most of them, at least in brief. And I can share my screen on that. What we are going to do moving forward, given that the state is just a little over a month from kind of reopening, we're still a little bit travel shy on our end, but we do want to make things work if we can find venues that are at least in a space where we can be potentially outside or where we can have a lot of ventilation or the like. So we will be looking in the regions to do regional in-person listening sessions and then have one bigger virtual listening session, which I think we are going to change the time to around like 6 to 8 on a Wednesday or 6 to 7:30 on a Wednesday evening so that we're capturing people who can't take time off work to be able to join that. So I am going to, can I share my screen, Justin?
Yeah, you can.
Great. Make sure there's nothing.
Christina?
Yeah.
As you're doing that, the logistics of meeting in person, hypothetically, when is the next meeting that you're referring to?
So the ones I'm referring to are the listening sessions. And so those are typically the week of the bigger council meeting. And we may do that more staggered because it's in person and we want to account for travel time, at least for our team. And so we may do it on a staggered weekly basis leading up rather than all the same week. For this group, generally, we're going to continue meeting virtually, at least for the next couple of meetings while we figure out, when it would be appropriate to meet in person again. And it seems like at this point, it's most convenient for this group, given the timing and given the subject matter of, foundation building to do it virtual, but we're open to meeting in person, but still think that logistically speaking, and then also given the fact that we're doing 1 to 4 p.m. on Fridays is not super conducive to people being able to attend. We'd like to keep this at least for the next few months until the council's ready to shift into in-person and potentially do like the bigger 2-day meeting.
Well, I appreciate that answer because I do have concerns about the rise of the Delta variant, especially in California. And I think, we'd probably need to slow any concept of a role that we were thinking we might have. Temper that with being cautious. So I think in the timeline that you described, I think continuing to do what we're doing like this is fine, meeting virtually. And then for the other meetings you described, that sounds okay as well. I say that because there were just 2 national tribal meetings in Las Vegas after not having those meetings in over a year. So there was a lot of enthusiasm amongst attendees to be there and participate in those meetings in person. But it was amidst a swirl of, I don't know, I don't want to use a bad pun. It was probably, you know, ignoring the obvious that's going on around. And I think there was a lot of unneeded risk that was taken being present there, even though I was there fully vaccinated. But, you know, I was one of just a few people in any particular room at any given time who was wearing a mask as well. So just have a lot of concerns about people being a little too cavalier about what's going on right now, and that we can't be too careful. So if everybody's comfortable proceeding as as was just described by Christina, I think that makes sense for us.
Thank you, Chairman. And I think this is a good time to give the PSA of the Delta variant is on the rise. It's not looking good. It's incredibly communicable. And that's the reason it's on the rise, is that it's incredibly contagious. And then the viral load is just insane. Viral load means how much you get blitzed by the virus, basically. And so even if you are vaccinated, you could potentially get it. You have less risk of hospitalization or death, but you are also able to get it and carry it and give it to other people. So just, you know, if there's any time to be kind of erring on the safe side, and then also erring on the safe side for vulnerable people, children are not able to get vaccinated yet. There are people who are immunocompromised that we care about, which is why we stayed home for so long. So again, Chairman Macaro is very much on the right side of where we would like people to be. So that said, listening sessions, we may try to get out into the community. If we do, it will be still in a COVID conscious way. So I think we would prefer to do something in an outdoor venue as appropriate, but also do not want to encourage people to be kind of traveling all over the place and spreading things that are not quite contained. So we may keep the virtual schedule, at least for the near term, depending on the lift it is to kind of navigate. So I'm going to share a couple of things. Let me just share my screen, I think. And can you all see this? It's a YouTube page.
No. I don't see it yet.
No.
Okay, let me see. Share, let's just do. Can you see it now?
Starting to boot up. Okay.
Great. So if you want to see all the listening sessions that are loaded and then just stuff that's from this channel, you can always subscribe at YouTube and you'll get the first crack at the listening sessions that are uploaded. So they're all at the Tribal Advisor YouTube. If you'd like to go to where the listening session reports and recordings are archived, and I say archived, but that's actually just where we're putting all of them together. I think the challenge of having a WordPress blog is that it's hard to have sort of like have something like this. And so we post them on the WordPress, but then we put them over here. So you can go to each of the reports, and this actually just updated. And so right now we've got all of the reports and the recordings. So if you click on recordings, you'll see links to all of the YouTubes in case you don't want to just subscribe. Each of the reports are summaries. Are not meant to be endorsements. So sometimes we have things that you wouldn't think a state would put in a report, but we don't want to be editing people's comments and want to have them there for posterity. But again, they're not endorsements. So I'm going to go through the March listening session. And what we'll do as we get closer to probably in this next month, we'll organize the comments in a way that is aligned with the questions asked so that they're broken out and more easy to see in kind of a topical way. Each of the listening session reports has who was in attendance and then also has links to the recordings as well. So you can also just go to the reports. So for March, which was the first time we did them, what we have on these listening sessions, and actually let me zoom because I'm sure that's not showing up as big as it's showing up for me, is that we'll have folks will also share resources and also upcoming events. Again, those are not endorsements. They're shared from participants, but they are included in the summaries. And so in March, the Northern region, we had comments that the council should focus on language revitalization. There was support for non-federally recognized tribes having a voice in this space. And you'll see also over time that some of the comments evolve because we do have some repeat participants who then kind of think about and come back to the table and have more comments for the group. And so there was a suggestion to have a blog style website that actually led to the creation of the blog style website we have now for people who just want to sign up for that so that they can get, you know, ongoing up-to-date information. And then we had some folks sharing about certain substantive things, which we think is helpful for the council to frame what they're going to look at. So one of the participants shared a story about their family home being dispossessed through the legal system by ranchers and that they're working with state parks to fix the injustice. When we host listening sessions in person, we should host them in areas where atrocities and hurt took place. In Reading, the tribe commemorates the date that the unratified treaty was signed by reading the treaty on one side of the bridge over there and then crossing it, which is where the proposed reservation would have been. They also have different sites where they do other conversations, like where the unratified treaty was signed. And so there were some recommendations about potentially hosting things in places like that. And then there was a recommendation to work with the Native Wellness Institute. And that recommendation was based on the fact that they work well in training up non-Native groups to work with groups like this one. Central, we had good showing of council members, recording available, and then some technical suggestions to increase outreach to teachers, a storing house of teaching information, broadband equity, giving California Indian students the opportunity to choose the school they attend regardless of district boundaries. And so we get kind of a mix of both things the council should look at, but then things that the council could suggest as reparations. So reparations could come in the form of financial assistance for non-federally recognized tribes going through federal acknowledgement, look at existing mechanisms and policies aimed at helping tribes go through the acknowledgement process, look at intersectionality of art and restorative justice. Visual representation could be a strong way to capture non-Native allies in this work, and then can also be used as a healing tool for cultural wellness. California highways and parks should contain California Native art, similar to what you see over in Albuquerque. There were some suggestions about ICWA, and that recognition directly impacts tribes' abilities to protect their children. Higher education institutions should be hiring California Native professors, and that this effort can empower groups like the Judicial Council to do its work when pushing issues and those that don't have the power to implement systemic change. In the Southern region, elders have expressed that they're excited and then also shocked that the state is addressing these issues. Disenrollment creates spiritual, cultural, and economic hardships. And we had some sharing of personal stories about being the inability to, and Justin, did you need something? You went off mute. Okay. So that there's, you know, real issues with folks' ability to engage in opportunities meant for Native peoples, that there should be more scholarship opportunities for non-federally recognized tribes and tribes that have been disenrolled. Indigenous Wellness Circle, again, was brought up, or maybe that's a different one. That the relationship between the state, local jurisdiction, and tribes is strained in certain counties and needs improvement. The council should remember that elders that held on to traditions when it was illegal and risked their lives to do so. The state places barriers on tribal development and sovereignty, which is in part because of PL 280. There should be historic markers in the state related to California tribes, because California history is California Indian history. State parks tells the wrong narrative about certain tribes and needs to be better at consulting with local tribes. And then the community would like a formal process in place that can be relied on to interact with the council. And then finally, for Eastern Region, some frustration with the Native American Heritage Center. That's the Indian Heritage Center that's in process now and is in the process of selecting a contractor. And then need to loop in community members and artists that participated in the past. The council should examine tribal water rights, hunting and fishing rights, ways to support disenrolled elders. The UC system should be examined because of their status as a land grant university. And this council should look into creating a meaningful relationship with the UC system through examining the past. CalNAGPRA needs to be supported more. Disenrollment has impacted Native scholarships, similar to the other commenter. Council should examine the 18 unratified treaties. And then the council should examine the land claims, and specifically the injustice of California Native Americans that were subject to that yet are not part of a federally recognized tribe. That's March. For April. And so this structure, we actually mix up days that different regions meet so that we can increase the availability of both council members and the community. So if there aren't days that work, that maybe in the next month the council can attend or the community can attend. So in this listening session, and also we started kind of structuring the listening sessions differently to have specific questions that came out of the council and the subcommittee. So in this section, session for Eastern, it was very important to draft an accurate K-12 public education curriculum, and there needs to be an alternate lesson to the mission lesson. Council should support pending legislation that would require public to include significant material on the history and culture of California Native Americans. The council should examine historic reasons that feed into the lack of California Native American teachers in public education. And to give credit where credit is due, Robert Levi shows up to every single listening session and makes sure that we know that this is really critical and important and that we can't make any changes. If we don't change the education system, both in how things are taught, but who is actually teaching. That there's a lot of programs that we heard about in this last week that were funded at some point. So for example, out of Humboldt State, that there was an actual feeder program for Native teachers to work in public schools in California that have since been defunded, and that those could use support so that we have more Native people wanting to go into these fields. Council should reach out to the tribal colleges. There's certain Native programs that are better at providing psychiatric care and services than others. Disenrollment is a byproduct of historical trauma and lateral oppression, and those that are disenrolled feel a deep wound. The council should receive input from Grayton regarding the tribe's constitutional prohibition on disenrollment. The council should examine the historically flawed process of the census and judgment rolls. Not signing a piece of paper in the 1920s should not prohibit federal recognition. Compartmentalizing the individual wrongdoing of the state and federal government is difficult because it's all entangled. And the states should collaborate together to figure out an easier path to federal recognition. Education should be should be a large portion of council scope. The community can't heal until non-natives acknowledge California Native American history and learn about current tribal governmental structures. Tying council meetings or events to larger cultural gatherings, big times, fiestas, et cetera, would be helpful to bring community while also immersing non-natives in cultural events. Some families actively hid native ancestry for various reasons, including but not limited to survival. And these families are just now discovering their ancestry and identity. Robinson Rancheria and Lake County School District are creating a middle school curriculum regarding Pomo history and are currently grappling with approaching the underlying events and violent massacres in a way that resonates with middle school age children. Problematic names throughout the state. Chag Lowry creates graphic novels, and you've all heard from him a few times, and has created content based on gold mining impacts. Native art can aid in the healing process. The mascot issue ties into identity and visibility. California tribes need broad and consistent access to land to gather materials for cultural reasons. There's a difference between gather and collect, but state laws are not written to account for this difference. Change Title V of the Education Code so that public institutions can recognize the second Monday of October as Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day. And the council should examine MMIW, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women's Issues in California. Central. Participants requested a letter of support from the council regarding an ask to rename an offensive name. The council should expand the size and diversity of the council makeup. There needs to be more outreach and work done to promote the council and listening sessions. Participants expressed frustration with difficulty in obtaining recordings of native languages from UC Berkeley. Local schools should bring in local tribal people to give presentations. The council should examine the impact of losing traditional languages. The council should look at concrete actions that can be taken after it examines the historical record. The state should do more to support California tribal colleges, especially in terms of funding. A subcommittee to focus on K-12 education and the dropout rate of California Native American students, among other things, should examine boarding schools and the long-term impacts of relocating tribal people to more urban populations, should mirror other healing councils and center the work on themes that would allow it to categorically tackle this large initiative, should look to creating non-voting accountability partners, which would include partners that have benefited from colonialism. And this was something that I think Council Member Kessler Mata brought up with certain corporations, organizations that were founded and benefited from the gold rush and the like. Council should create a subcommittee focusing on land back issues. Council should partner with California senators and their 14 other states that are beginning to look at creating truth and healing councils, and the council should reach out to these groups for ideas regarding scope. And the council should examine the federal recognition process and provide assistance to those going through that process. And then Southern. Council member, would you like?
Maybe after a Southern, I was gonna say something after, sorry.
Okay. So wellness in the Native American community does not fit into the Western framework because spirit, mind, and body are all interconnected. And so the approach to wellness for this group needs to be mindful of that. Saybrook University could be a resource for wellness practitioners. There needs to be greater interest in creating accurate curriculum in K-12 education. The council and the state could create or should create an identity subcommittee focused on non-federally recognized tribes, disenrollment, and moratorium issues. The state should create a scholarship program based on California Native descendancy, not enrollment in a federally recognized tribe. And this is something that came up in subcommittee work too with Councilmember Kessler Monta. The state should, the state capitol building is on sacred land and it's difficult to look past the historical trauma when the state is actively disregarding the importance of a sacred site. TIPO opinion should be given deference when discussing sacred sites. Tongva sacred sites are currently being desecrated by Cal State Long Beach and federal recognition would help the tribe fight for ancestral lands back. California Native American healing must occur alongside the healing of perpetrators. Open awareness of perpetrators being included in the healing process will begin systemic healing. The council should include non-voting members from different sectors of the non-Native community that will examine the legacy of their organization and do a deep listening and understanding of the historical record and its issues, and current issues, sorry. It's important for non-Natives to understand their role in systemic discrimination and harm. And it's important to have a traditional wellness practitioner from the California Indian community. And lateral violence is a large issue in general, but it is very visible during the federal recognition process. So, Councilmember, would you like to say something?
Yeah, no, I was just going to comment that something that probably the academic subcommittee should discuss is basically what to do with some of these listening session reports, because I think it's really valuable to go over the information and such, but from an academic perspective, what social scientists do with this type of information, right, is we would code it. So each kind of comment would get a tag, right, whether it's about partnerships or about substantive issues that are being identified, or is it about disenrollment or what have you, right? So there's a lot of different ways that we could code the data, and then we could compare and have it done by region and then kind of contrast across regions and say, okay, this is unique to central or this is unique to southern, or and then see what everything looks like overall. So I'm just kind of thinking like, again, I don't do that stuff because I'm a theorist. I married a methodologist. That's, you know, the reason why. But I know what we do, right, in the social sciences. So I'm thinking about maybe we should take this kind of a question to the academic subcommittee about how to kind of help structure or work with that. It may also be a fundraising committee question, because typically you would have students, right, whether they're undergrads or graduate students, coding this type of stuff. And then, with a supervisor kind of overseeing it. So I don't know if that's something, that would be done in-house on your end, or if that would be something that would be done with funding from, right, kind of an external source. But anyway, I'm just kind of thinking about, this is great material, and this is, we're going to have this every month for probably quite a while, I imagine. So what to do with this information and to make sure we can make the best use of it. It's just something I wanted to say real quick as we're processing this.
Thank you, council member. And for the council members, just for awareness, we'll probably won't go through four different ones every meeting. We'll probably go through one every meeting, but wanted to get everyone up to speed. And I think part of the data issue that I see, at least at this point, is just we're not getting like great numbers. And so that's one thing for the council too, is if you have the ability to, or if you have ideas about whether we need to be doing them differently or at different times to get more participation. We aren't getting great numbers. We are getting really good feedback, but we have kind of a polling issue of like, based on who's showing up and who shows up consistently, to be representative, we probably do need more people. So just putting that out there too, so that we have anyone who wants to amplify or share more. I'm gonna go through May and then June, and then I think we'll do a quick break before going into the next item, if that's okay with folks, and then you have some time to think about what we heard. And part of this is that all of these comments inform how the agenda is formed, and then also how subcommittee pieces are put on the agenda. So let's go into May real quick. Okay. Okay. So Southern, the council should examine the state sanctioned genocide as a starting point. Land acknowledgements and meetings should also acknowledge the individual's responsibility to the land and also address the historical atrocity of the local community. In terms of outreach and public media, there's some recommendations about who we could partner with. There's also a great need for Native American teachers. Listening sessions should have a required minimum number of Native participants. UC San Diego has a new undergraduate program for Native American and Indigenous Studies. We had some suggestions about getting the word out. UC Hastings has begun compiling information about genocide, but the school is still named after a judge that was responsible for massacres. UC reparations could come in the form of free education or legal assistance to tribes. California Native people also need to be educated about the true history of California and Native American tribes and historical trauma. The council should create a space for healing in order to avoid opening old wounds and getting the community stuck in this space without the tools necessary to heal. Tribal consultations should also be documented with video, not just audio and transcription. And on this piece, I do want to add that we have gotten this comment a couple of times, and I think from at least my perspective on the state side, we're not going to dictate what tribes share and don't share and how they want to share. I understand that the desire for transparency from a community perspective, but from, you know, a data, cultural, tribal sovereignty perspective, we're not going to do that, at least on my end. If our outside contractor, if the council wants to do something different from that perspective, then I think they can have that conversation, but we're not going to impose that. The council should involve the arts in healing and can look to Chag, Lowry, and Red Planet Comics. The Native American Comic-Con would provide representation and a space for Native voices. A subcommittee focusing on disenrollment and federal recognition is of utmost importance because these areas need to be addressed in order to have real truth and healing. The state should pay for counseling services for any Native American needs and could potentially partner with the Indigenous Circle of Wellness. We're all Native people, regardless of recognition status, and need to approach the scope of the council as one people. We also should not hold on to anger, and we need to look to the future and look at the best in all of this work. The council should examine the topic of boarding schools, and perhaps a meeting can be held at Sherman Indian High School. And then missing and murdered Indigenous issues in the Me Too movement should be examined through a historical lens. California needs to be held accountable for stealing land and erasing cultures. Wiksashi tribe went to war in 1856 over treaties, and it took years for the tribe to access the language of the treaties. This process should be easier for tribes. California should have a process for state recognition through the legislature. This would assist in funding health and educational needs. The council should not partner with CSU Long Beach. Again, all of these are not endorsements, but we do want to know who are inappropriate based on their past dealings with California Native peoples and sacred sites. The council should look into a mechanism to allow tribes to partner with the state library in order to conduct research. Outreach to youth can be accomplished through newsletters, social media, TANF, word of mouth, and local TV radio stations. We have some other suggestions on outreach, and then some suggestions on the age range for the youth council, which are going into that subcommittee. Non-recognized tribes need funding and technical assistance to create corporations. Participants shared the arduous task of compiling research for their own tribe and noted that they had worked with Berkeley, Riverside, and Davis over an extended period of time. This larger lift will likely involve all of the UC system. And the state must continue partnering with the federal government and landowners to rename places with offensive names. The community should contact the California Teachers Association. I won't continue reading that because that seems like an endorsement. Protection of landscapes, water, and forestry is important and difficult to separate out because it's all connected. For Northern Region, the council should consider creating a subcommittee to discuss Indian health needs. Native students are invisible in higher education, and Humboldt State is doing some research and work in this area in order to identify California Native students. Their tribes provide funding to universities but see little return on investment. There's a need for California Indian middle school and junior high teachers. There was some specific information about a certain school with a California Indian name that failed to provide basic education on the name or the tribe. We had some specific recommendations on youth and partners. Youth committee needs funding and stipends. Provide training and leadership opportunities to youth is important. The disclaimer language in the executive order is problematic. Council should not spend resources on commemorating the apology. Outreach to youth can be accomplished through TikTok, and then the state should fund youth-driven initiatives, and in the future, these initiatives could be documented and highlighted. State funds should be put towards tribal members of tribes who are part of the 18 unratified treaties. The council should present budget updates at the quarterly meeting. California should have a legislative process for tribal state recognition. A stipend for council members and committee members is important. Multiple participants suggested that disenrollment and non-title recognition issues should be addressed by separate subcommittees and not combined into one. The council voting members should be expanded to include more representatives of non-federally recognized tribes. The council should do more outreach to non-federally recognized tribes. The timeline should be extended because it's difficult to address hundreds of years of atrocities in such a short time frame. We have some specific recommendations on folks that could be helpful for the work of the council. The state needs to have an agency or an umbrella department that solely focuses on California Indian issues. State should provide funding for genealogical services and data gathering for non-federally recognized tribes. Council should examine statutory and regulatory barriers that exist within the state and provide more opportunities for funding to non-federally recognized tribes. The goal for the final report should be responsibility, accountability, and undoing of harm. The state should create a corporation class for non-federally recognized tribes. And then there were some suggestions on the youth council, and that the council should consider having two meetings for central region based on the large number of tribes in the area. So that's May, and then we'll get to June before we do a quick break. And June was more lengthy because we had a lot of participation last month. Okay. Council should examine boarding schools and the cross-jurisdictional roles of the state and counties. National Boarding School Coalition may be a helpful partner. In many areas in California, California water policy absolutely destroyed native environments. In the Tulare Lake Basin, these water diversion projects destroyed the largest lake west of the Mississippi River and destroyed the Yoka, specifically Tachi way of life. There's a need for California Native teachers. The state needs to advocate to the federal government for inclusion in programs of those who have been disenrolled and those from federally non-federally recognized tribes and unrecognized tribes in general. California needs to find a way to bring programs to these people, as well as encourage California tribes to acknowledge all their members in every way possible, including language. The council should make a recommendation that academics, academic institutions, and publishers are held accountable to obey existing laws protecting archaeological sites. The participant also recommended the creation of real structures of accountability to follow those laws and stay within the norms of ethical scholarship, and recommended the Hoshman Group. The state should develop a mechanism to work with the federal government in a way that allows non-federally recognized tribes to have a greater voice in managing public lands. The state could help create a defined and comprehensive ancestral land map. There are many variations out there, but there should be one comprehensive map for the entire state. It would be helpful to have many small and more focused listening sessions rather than a larger one. Oh, and then a larger one that brings everyone together. The state should have a department dedicated to tribal issues and should also provide supportive services to California Native people, regardless of status. Scholars conducting research should be compensated appropriately. Youth Council Subcommittee should be limited to California Native Youth and structured similarly to the council. And then suggestion in the age range. And we will edit some of these typos, so don't worry about that. There should be at least some youth on the youth council that practice traditional ways and speak their language. It would be a good idea to reach out to schools in the area to include youth. And then it's important that the youth council be provided a framework, but that it's flexible enough to allow the youth to take full ownership of it. Regions should host their own youth listening sessions and be responsible for bringing youth into the space. The California Indian Culture and Sovereignty Center works closely with tribal leaders to conduct research that's tribally owned and driven, and conducts a statewide report on K-12 education in collaboration with a local tribe, but that should be supported and paid for by the state. Universities often reach to out-of-state Native American students instead of working with California Native American tribes. The governor should acknowledge and validate Native history. The state should provide support like zero interest housing and business loans. The youth group should have an avenue for urban Indian kids too. Youth should be provided a path to state universities and actively engaged with them, and a guaranteed admission program could be considered. The youth subcommittee should determine teaching methods, balancing subcommittee workload, who handles what, and then subcommittees should contract Native scholars in particular. For the Southern region, Councilmember Lucas recommended looking into possible collaborations with a state reparations committee. And that's the one that was formed to look at slavery reparations. The council should create structures and mechanisms for academic accountability and oversight of publications. The participant shared that a book was recently published that provided detailed information about sacred sites and encouraged the public to go to those sites. Cultural resource publications should be subject to draft inspection by relevant tribes. Academic institutions need to be held accountable for their role in the disposition of land, desecration of cultural items and ancestors, and publications of erroneous information. Academic institutions and even experts within the community have misquoted individuals and publications. The Department of State Hospitals in the process of drafting a tribal consultation policy. And then a participant shared concern about tribal people being buried in unmarked graves, but noted that the records of individuals are non-existent. The state should have some form of state recognition outside of CEQA process. State-sponsored genocide, land grab, and subsequent cultural erasure were some of the most horrific and negatively impactful atrocities the state of California needs to take radical accountability for and make amends as much as possible. The taking of our children and adults to become slaves in California is supported by early California law. The bounties placed on the heads of Native peoples also legitimized and encouraged by California laws, and the removal of Native people from their traditional lands and sacred sites are both cultural and actual physical genocide. Those factors contribute to the generational trauma, including tribal disenrollment that exists today. The goal of the final report should be to create supportive structure, legislation, educational standards, plans to return lands, grants to Native American projects, students for college, et cetera, and definitive steps with deadlines towards amending the issues brought to the council by Native people. It's suggested that TEK practitioners and clan mothers be consulted. A trauma-informed therapist should be present at listening sessions as well. Filming, in addition to audio recording, should be an option during interviews recording historical trauma. Skip and Fresno American Indian Halls have good youth outreach at their facilities and could be helpful. The council should put out a general solicitation for youth artists. Health programs often have youth programs that could be potential partners for the youth council subcommittee. Some more suggestions, 100,000 or even 450,000 a year is not enough to fund the work of the council. The scope of the council should begin at statehood and the mandate of genocide. Genocide is continuing today through historical erasure and desecration of sacred sites. The Encinitas School District and many others continue to celebrate the California Gold Rush and fail to teach the real history. The teaching materials are there, but the state needs to step in and ensure Native children are not being harmed through inaccurate and inappropriate lessons. the education system is where systemic racism starts, and the council should look into ways to ensure that there is a policy shift towards accurate education and inclusion of Native peoples into the curriculum. For Eastern, the council should consider increasing the voting membership. There should be guidelines and a mechanism for a state recognition process. The council should have a subcommittee on disenrollment. There should be a clear criteria specifying how to get state recognition. The California Museum has an exhibit on Tilly Hardwick. It speaks volumes that she's recognized for her leadership as a strong California Native woman, but if she were alive today, she would not be enrolled in her tribe because her descendants have been disenrolled. Some tribes, including the Waxahachie, Mono, and the Federated Indians of Great Rancheria, have prohibited disenrollment through their constitution. The disposition of land and removals is most harmful for the state pre-statehood action because everything stems from that. Tribes are now pitted against each other and unable to work together and share culture and language in pre-contact ways. The state should be held accountable for the bounty placed on Native people's heads and scalps. The state should be held accountable for the destruction of burial sites, criminalizing people designated as vagrants, and for the open executions. The state should be held accountable for every action at the state's origin, especially the governor's role in lobbying to hide the unratified treaties. It's not going to be possible to point to every instance of injustice. Individual tribes are going to be conducting this research and do not have the resources to do so. The council should provide compensation for the tribe's time. The disposition of land is the root cause of a lot of trauma. Land is tied to resources and economic well-being, and if a tribe does not have enough resources, that can result in lateral oppression. Tribal sovereignty should be respected, and the state and federal governments should not get involved in disenrollment disputes, but perhaps the council should examine current enrollment status issues as a byproduct of inadequate resources and create a foundation to ensure that California Native American tribes are well-resourced in order to heal. If the state does provide land to non-federally recognized tribes, it needs to also define non-federally recognized tribes in a way that removes them from the California tax roll to prevent tribes from being overwhelmed or burdened by taxes on their newly returned land. The goal of the report should be that it becomes actionable and legally binding. The 18 treaties should be examined because even those treaties dispossess non-signatory tribes of their land. The council should help Native people access archival records like the state library. It's difficult, time-consuming, and expensive to access information through the BIA and other entities. And then another recommendation. The final report should address funding, hunting rights, and capacity building for tribes. And then the researcher should be a California Native American and should work within the California system because they understand the needs of the community. And then the Northern California listening session. Transformative funding should be the goal of this council. California Native American tribes are historically underfunded. Increased funding for California Native professors in the UC and CSU system is needed. They should not need to write grants for cultural development and curriculum. It would be ideal if the council could secure transformative funding and provide it to those professors. The council should consider a subcommittee on identification and status instead of separate subcommittees on disenrollment and recognition. If we have separate committees, it may create animosity between non-federally recognized tribes and federally recognized tribes, and that's not conducive to healing. Traditional practitioners have difficulty accessing ancestral land unless they have a letter from the tribe. It's not always possible and is a barrier when dealing with state agencies. Identity in California is complex, and perhaps the council can look to the definition of the Indian Healthcare Improvement Act to create a process or guidelines for larger state recognition of Indian people. Non-federally recognized tribes lack access to federally owned lands due in part to the state's historical mistreatment of California Native American tribes. Council could look into creating a state trust responsibility or something similar to the federal trust responsibility. Not necessarily the same thing, but a similar concept. Philanthropic groups should be approached for funds needed to buy ancestral lands back. There needs to be laws guaranteeing access for traditional use. But in order to do so, we need to transform the concept of current property rights and usage. The state should provide funding for higher education and trade schools. The city of Eureka gave land back to the Wyot tribe, and it may be benefit. Yes, Chairman?
that siren really took over the audio. If you could go back about 30 seconds just to reread what got swallowed up.
Sorry about that. I'm right next to both a train and a fire department. So I have some good background. So the council could look into creating a state trust responsibility or something similar to the federal trust responsibility, not necessarily the same thing, but a similar concept. Philanthropic groups should be approached for funds needed to buy ancestral lands back. There needs to be laws guaranteeing access for traditional use, but in order to do so, we need to transform the concept of current property rights and usage. The state should provide funding for higher education and trade schools. The city of Eureka gave land back to the Wiat tribe, and it may be beneficial for the council to hear about that process. There should be more financial investment from the state into Native programs in the UC and CSU system. The state should continue the California Truth and Healing Council in perpetuity through legislation. It took generations to perpetrate the mass genocide of California Indian people, and it's going to take more than 5 years to examine the history and provide recommendations for restoration and reparations. The council should submit a report to the governor's office twice a year or on a quarterly basis. The goal of the youth council should be to provide them with the tools needed to eventually take seats on the council. But first, the council needs to be something that will be around longer than a few years. Schools need to teach California Indian history, and the UCs and CSUs should waive tuition for California Indian students. I'm going to stop sharing. And that was a lot of information. But that's the kind of discussions in summary that happen in these listening sessions. So it is a lot of thoughts, a lot of feelings that are important for the council to hear. So we encourage you to, and I think we'll do an overview of the previous month's listening session report in each of these meetings, just so that everybody's on the same page. But if you want to look at the actual recordings, they're also in those reports as well. If there's anything that sounded like it, you might want to hear more of the discussion on, you can go into those recordings themselves. At this point, if there's no comments from the council on this item, or if there are, we could still take a break and come back and resume the item. Are folks okay with about a break until maybe 2:30? Or is that too long?
I have to leave at 3:00, so it depends on how much business we need to cover before then.
Why don't we take a break for about 5 minutes? Okay, and then we'll see you all in 5 minutes and then resume the agenda. Okay, now that we've had some visiting, we'll get back into the agenda. So if folks have comments on the public and community engagement input, feel free to jump in now. Otherwise, we'll move to the budget update, which is very quick. Okay, we'll move into the budget update. Here we go. So as I mentioned in some of the listening sessions and then also in to this council, you all had a budget on the state side of $100,000 annually, and that was during COVID times when it was unsure whether we'd get any funding from the feds, what the budget outlook would look like for the state. And that was to cover stipends for all of you, provide culturally appropriate wellness services for quarterly meetings, and then the cost to live stream these meetings, but then transcribe meetings and any consultations that took place. This year, the budget does include and was approved for an additional $350 annually. So that's a total of $450 annually through the 24-25 budget year. So that goes until the end of June 2025 to support the work of the council, and that will go to the work to coordinate research, compile and consolidate all of the known resources within the State Library and Archives, and then also coordinate any research that needs to be outsourced, and then compiling and composing the report of findings based on current academic or international methodologies at your direction. And then any travel for all of you and for this office for consultations, meetings, and subcommittee work. So we will be in touch on all of that. Again, we are in the process of shifting to a different agency to do our HR and contracting work. So we're kind of in the process of a lot of stuff moving. We also got some budget so that this position can be segregated from the NAHC executive secretary position without pulling away from the NAHC. So that's going to be happening in the next few weeks as well. What else? I think that's it, unless council members have any questions on any of that. And then any additional budget items that need to move more quickly or need to be less constrained by state contracting laws or other things like that. We'll do that through the funding subcommittee that'll work with our philanthropic partner, which we'll have a little bit of an update in the next agenda item, but they are going to be creating basically a position to manage this program from the outside. And we'll be looking for ideally folks from the California Native community that have some experience in both philanthropic partnerships, but also in managing, you know, comms and things like that. So any additional questions on this piece? Okay. I'm gonna then move into the subcommittee. And sorry, Justin, do we have any raised hands from the community at all?
No raised hands.
Okay, thank you. We'll move to subcommittees, and we've restructured the agenda because we do have active subcommittees now. So if anybody from the Youth Council would like to give an update at this time, you can do so.
I'm sorry to interrupt. There was a hand that came up right after I said that. So Tony Cordero, I'm going to allow you to speak now.
Great. I just wanted to ask about the listening session reports. Would it be possible to include in future reports the number of community members who participated in those listening sessions? Because I think it would be really valuable for people to know, you know, how well or how sparsely they were attended.
Yes, we can consider that. Any other hands raised?
No other hands raised.
Great. Okay, so Youth Council. Council Member Borquez, are you on?
I am. I just had to switch over to my phone. My laptop died. So I guess a new laptop's going to be in my future. For the Youth Council, I was reached out to from Martin Luther King Jr. Freedom Center, and am going to be connecting with their youth this upcoming week. And so obviously I did reach out to yourself, Christina, and to Loretta on getting some talking points, making sure that everything is true and correct, maybe some flyers, things along those lines. But it's definitely nice to kind of start to see some engagement here with our youth. I know we've always have asked the community, what is youth? You know, is there a specific, you know, age bracket that we want to look to or things along those lines? And there's been a lot of discussion around that, what different people view the youth are. So definitely looking forward to getting more feedback from the community so that we can start to formalize the Youth Council and start to, you know, move in those directions and make sure that the youth and the issues that are near and dear to their hearts are at the table for all of us.
So a lot of what the youth subcommittee is doing is actually going around to existing meetings with youth, going around to different gatherings and making sure that those youth are engaged and just getting some feedback from them directly. So they're getting talking points and we'll be going around. I also spoke with the Junior American Indian Chamber of Commerce and mentioned this effort and that, you know, we want them to be involved. We'd like them to let us know what they need. So that is also some of the outreach. And Council Member Turner was there as well. Are there any comments, questions, discussion for the Youth Council? Okay. Any raised hands on that piece?
No raised hands.
Okay. So we will move to academic partnerships. If either council, well, you're unmuting, so I feel like you're ready to go.
And Kuthlis, you can chime in. Just the basics are, we've really been painstakingly trying to develop a mission and vision statement for our group, because we'll be dealing with a lot of outside institutions, a lot of external academics. So I think we need to have a really clear vision of who we are so that we can announce ourselves and what we're interested in regards to working with academics. We have already scheduled our first meeting. I believe it's in August. I can't remember the exact date, but we felt that what we really need to begin our work is to take an inventory of what we know is already out there in regards to historical resources that we might be able to access. So we are meeting next month, I believe it is, with the California State Historian. And we can get some type of discussion going in regards to what the state possesses, rather whether it's at the California State Library or the California State Archives. Kuthlis, do you want to add anything to that?
Not particularly, but I will say that one of the things that we had discussed was that we are going to be cognizant of, making sure that our work addresses issues faced by both recognized, unrecognized, and then also disenrolled communities, so that to make sure we are being broader in our approach than just the initial, I think, being recognized and unrecognized. And so we're kind of making sure we want to make a conscientious effort to include all different communities in the work that we're doing.
And I will add, even though nobody volunteered it, but I'll add that in those discussions too, there was some thoughts about, you know, if we are looking at real action that is targeted to assist descendants of this legacy, that there needs to be some thought as to who we're talking about and how we identify California Native people outside of the constructs of membership in a tribe or something similar. So how does that descendancy get worked out, which is probably a very long conversation and a very long study in what could be possible, but just putting that also to this group.
I have something to add to. I don't know if you said this because my screen froze for about 30 seconds, but I think part of that discussion was also making sure we're able to provide access to some of these sources through the creation of possibly a website or maybe piggybacking onto the California Digital Access. I don't know if you said that or not because my screen was frozen, but I thought that was a pretty important component because I was just in a conversation with some educators yesterday who were saying they didn't have great access to a lot of sources when they're trying to develop curriculum. So I mentioned to them that we were doing this project and we're thinking about how we can get people access to some of the sources they need.
Great. Thank you, subcommittee members. And is there any more discussion from this group on that?
I just would have mentioned that one of the things that we also talked about was creating maybe a list of sorts for subcommittees to process data requests, right? So that for every subcommittee that exists, doing a deep dive in their issues, if they have data requests from the state, that we should be compiling those in an efficient way so as to help make sure we get responses and so forth. I think that's something we were talking about, though, probably taking place when we have someone in position to manage the project, you know, the kind of program, but that was something that probably every subcommittee needs. And we would like to start compiling our own requests as well.
Great, thank you, subcommittee. Are there any raised hands from the public on that Justin?
No raised hands.
Great. And then funding partnerships. This subcommittee has not met yet, but we are going to have a meeting with the Decolonizing Wealth Project in the near term. So we'll be looping all of you on that so that you're in those conversations and you can start being kind of the lead in those spaces. As I mentioned earlier, they've gotten some funding from philanthropy and will be helping shepherd more funding from philanthropy for the needs and priorities of this group, both in community engagement. They're very interested in also the youth council. So as that develops, very interested in that. And then they will also be doing a bigger comms list and a bigger documentation list. And so they're looking at documenting this whole process, whether it's through sort of like a mini series or whether it's through a bigger documentary. But that'll be something that they'll be looking at too. And they'll be looking to find someone to help manage that project on their team, who will be working really closely with this council and with our office as well. So just putting that out there, if you know anybody who might be a good fit, because I think that they'll be looking at that in the near future. Any other questions on that piece?
I throw something on the agenda for that committee, though. Specifically developing a proposal for budget approval. So what will the process be for the council to approve budget items? Because I don't think we have that in our bylaws as it is. And that's, I guess, I don't know if there would be a separate set of rules for the $450K right, annually versus whatever comes through the, through the fundraising efforts, but something we're missing.
Yeah, we could chat about that. And I think we could chat about that in subcommittee, because I think on the state side, there's like very prescribed processes by the Department of Finance that make it kind of difficult to be transparent about how the budget gets done. But I think through the private side, there's a bit more flexibility there. So I think we should just have that conversation about what the constraints are and then, be transparent about how that's going to happen once we kind of figure it all out. Additional items, questions on that piece? Okay, any raised hands on that piece?
No raised hands.
Great. And just so the community is aware, we've been asking in the listening sessions about what their individual tribal and organizational needs are, because we anticipate that funding partner organization will help shepherd those requests as well and create connections between either organizations or in philanthropy or individuals in philanthropy and tribes in philanthropy. And so, where there are needs from individuals to engage meaningfully in this effort, that they can kind of quantify that and pitch that to private funders. So that's why we're asking those questions, so that they can have an idea of what that might look like as well. Then we'll move into status and identity. So this subcommittee, we created the heading of status and identity because really for the purposes of this Truth and Healing Council, we have heard that there is major inequity in California Indian Country that continues to be exacerbated because of changing conditions and changing benefits of status and identity. And so there have been several requests that this council have a subcommittee that is focused on the needs and disparate treatment and disproportionality that happens when people are disenrolled or have lack status as a member of a federally recognized tribe or a non-federally recognized tribe, and then also the disparate outcomes and needs for tribes that lack recognition as well. And that for the purposes of this council, where it's focused on the individual, how can this council best address those needs, given that they're not, they're different, they require a lot more legwork and a lot more resourcing for individuals and tribes that are not in a good position to be able to have those resources. So I'm going to open it up to council discussion at this point. To think about how you want to address this.
I'm happy to go first, just because I have a couple of things that I was thinking about. And I think when Ramos spoke the other day, he really struck a chord with me about thinking about what we can do and what we cannot accomplish throughout this work. And I thought, again, also about the charter, right? And what we've been scoped to do generally or broadly by the state. And from my perspective, I think it's absolutely essential that we include and focus on all of the various folks in California that occupy different statuses, whether it's recognized, unrecognized, disenrolled, and so forth. And yet I also do not think that we can properly or even sufficiently do the work of addressing lateral violence questions. And I think that there's several different reasons for that. One is because we're here to focus on holding the state accountable is for me the first and primary issue. And we can only do so much in a few years. So for me, holding the state accountable is the ultimate goal. And then secondly, it's also, I want to be able to productively work together both on the council and within various communities. And I want to hear the issues and concerns that people have in relation to their work, working with the state, occupying these different statuses and so forth. So I don't know what that means. If it means a subcommittee is the best place to have a location where folks who want to focus on disenrollment, and then we'd also have subcommittees on enrollment or, you know, I'm sorry, recognized and unrecognized. I don't know if we want to break it up like that or if it's just something that we need to be conscientious about, including in each of the various subcommittee work and larger work of the council. So I'm not sure at what level that operates, but the goal should still be to focus on holding the state accountable regardless. At least those are my thoughts on it.
Additional comments, thoughts on how to approach the different status and needs of California Indians.
I have one hand raised from the public.
We're going to continue with council member comments and then we'll go to public comment. But it looks like Councilmember Macaro wanted to speak. He's still muted. Councilmember Phelps?
I don't know a better time to say this, but since we just got over our committee reports and we're discussing an issue that's going to take years to solve, I just want to discuss the logistics issue because Kusla had just talked about how long this is going to take and we have to focus, et cetera. I just want to point out as someone who works at the CSU that one thing that will allow our work to go beyond our charter and continue on is space, is a place to meet, a place to gather, whether these are funded by through the tribes themselves, particularly gaming tribes, or through the state if our charter is renewed. I just want everyone to, and particularly the subcommittees, to realize that COVID has changed higher education forever. And what that means is that we're never going to go back to the old way where everybody's at campus. Essentially, what students are demanding is kind of a hybrid model. Either, you know, part of their education is going to be online, part is going to be at campus. But regardless of the details of this, the bottom line is that the 10 campuses of the University of California and the 23 campuses of the California State University and the branch campuses that are operated by them, and there's probably about a dozen, all those campuses are going to have space for the foreseeable future. And so one thing we can utilize, if you look at a map of all these institutions of higher education, they are spread throughout the state, in many instances, very close to our constituent tribes. And so for this work to continue, particularly in our subcommittees, we should never be afraid to go to any particular campus and say, we would like X number of offices and the right to utilize conference space because you are part of the government of the state of California. And I think the campuses, because of the nature of our mission, are going to be very accepting of that and actually eager to partner with us. So again, this is more for our subcommittees and perhaps, you know, dovetailing what we were talking about right now. Any work that we're going to do, if we need a place to do it, let us go to our state universities and our University of California campuses, because I believe they will take us in and provide us those resources that we need to continue this mission during our charter period. And if we extend our charter beyond that, and that's, I just wanted to say that before we shifted far away from our subcommittee reports.
Great. Thank you.
Christina?
Yes.
Okay. I had to log off and log back in. Your question, I had a question about your question. So what is it that, what are you intending to solicit by the question?
I am trying to have a discussion about how to address the fact that this council has been asked to do something about disenrollment and recognition. And there's been requests to create subcommittees for both of those things. With, you know, I don't know what the expected outcome of that would be, but something that was suggested in one of the listening sessions in June was that rather than create basically constructs of status where healing can't really occur because it's siloed and it's focused on something that increases lateral violence, to think about it from an individual perspective and to think about how to adequately address inequities faced by people who lack status, who have issues with identity because they've been disenrolled, the like, that kind of thing. So I think it's obviously a very complicated issue, but what I'm asking is how whether this council would like to create a subcommittee that is specific to addressing those issues and those needs that are specific to California Native peoples that lack certain status or external validation of identity and status, or how you want to deal with all of that, given that it's something that is going to continue to be the elephant in the room for this council.
Okay. I don't have a prepared answer for that. I would just add, hearing more on your clarification of what the question is, it's clear that so far this process of ours, that we are commissioners for, has created a platform or voice, a venue, to begin addressing the concerns that those groups have, the disenrollment groups and the groups of non-federally recognized tribes, because there really isn't a forum for those voices. So to the extent that the commission sees value in continuing to have a forum to collect what those voices have to say, I see that that could be a function of a subcommittee that we have. the overall mission of what we have to do and the time frame that we have is something that I think really we need to focus on. And because I mean, those issues of disenrollment and also non-federally recognized tribes, well, they're going to take a long time to sort through. There could be a commission just on that. And, you know, there are threads that go back in time and are difficult to address. So my thought though here is that non-federally recognized tribes have probably a more direct tie into our business here because there are overt activities that the state engaged in certainly since 1850 when the statehood began that had a role in the relative recognition of federal recognition of a tribe or not. And so that non-federally recognized tribes that does need to be dealt with. And we're going to have to find a way to, I don't know, ascribe some kind of responsibility or accountability to what the state's role has been and continues to be in on that issue. So you know, those are my initial thoughts on that.
Member, Councilmember Fisk, you had raised your hand.
You know, this is pretty much my topic of the disenrolled and the unrecognized peoples of California, because one, I think that we outnumber the numbers of recognized tribal members in the state of California. And two, we oversee more land that the state of California has developing and the federal government developing than the recognized tribes of California. We also have more unjust treatment by both the state and the federal government because of the BIA's list. And that list was created overnight. And now we're talking about what, billions of years before we can straighten out this injustice that's happened to the Indians of California. Now, my relatives and your relatives, they all came together and they did the California claims case. And my relatives came together and they fought for land for the California Indians, helping to establish all of the rancheria system in California. But at the time, they didn't know that those lands were the only Indians that are going to be in California. And the rest of us that didn't get on those lands and didn't want to be on those lands would be set aside as not Indians. And the acts of disenrollment really neglects the processes of traditional ways of dealing with our people. You know, there were things that were acts of disenrollment, which would be somebody who was detrimental to the rest of the group and could not change. That person could be said to have been disenrolled because they were a detriment to everybody around them. But the process that's been used today is based on whatever educational information and documentation that the BIA or whoever was documenting the Indians that were gathering in these forts or reservation systems, and neglecting to see that many of those members were the original allotment holders, were the original, the last speakers of their tribe or the last people who knows about some of their cultures, which is, you know, in my mind is the wrong thing to do in trying to heal or to take care of your community. The commitment itself I mean, I would like to be on a commission itself that would approach and discuss how do we change this? Not in 10 million years, but like the reservation system or the list happened in 1978, 1979, and was finished by 1984. We have not gotten anybody through that recognition process. It's pretty much a big joke, that federal recognition process. And for the state of California to go along with that after they are the beneficiaries of what happened to the California tribes. And right now, you know, we're holding the Run for Salmon, and we did a ceremony earlier on, or tried to do a ceremony for Abathlos Chonas, which is a coming of age for a young girl. We could not get the campground closed because we're not on the BIA's list. Now, we are forever fighting with the U.S. Forest Service, and we have always been those same people in the face of the Forest Service over our sacred places, over protecting our grave sites, all of those things. Maya, wait.
I want water.
Come get it. Anyway, we feel like the state of California needs to provide some way of getting justice in those instances, because we could use the farm bill if we were on that list. They're not debating whether or not we're a tribe, whether or not we have actual, I mean, the only reason they have sacred sites on their list is because we told them they were sacred sites. And the sacred sites are listed and recognized and protected, but our right to be there is not. And for the Forest Service to depend on the BIA for its dealings with the tribe in their forest is totally wrong. So we are asking them, you need to come up with some regulation or a permit or even some professional judgment and assist in helping us keep the public out of our ceremonies, which they can't do right now, they say, because the BIA has determined or decided who is Indians in California. So a commission on this might be just what it needs, because in my mind, everybody who went to the boarding schools, including my parents, were federally recognized. They went to that boarding school. Everybody who had allotments, they were federally recognized. Everybody who was killed, family members who was killed, they were federally nobody was distinguishing between Rancheria Indians, reservation Indians, wild Indians. Everybody was treated the same then. But now we have this since the 80s, this big split, and it has to do with a lot of big profits that now the Indian people are involved with too. And we have a separation that supersedes the responsibilities, I guess, of what our ancestors, our elders wanted for the state of California when they created the lawsuit that took 50 years to win and only 8 years to drop. It took 50 years. Think about that. It took 50 years for our ancestors, our people, many of them died before it happened, to win in the state of California and become on the list for services in the state of California, which only was valued for 8 years. And then they developed a list in that short amount of time, ending all services that we won in the court for education, health, all everything was somehow slipped under the rug, slipped under something. It went somewhere. But who decided that it should go somewhere? And we just developed this list and we hand money to these people that are developing their new constitutions, their new governments, They're coming out of a homeless state and actually making a leadership role. While it's like, had the Wintu people in my area known that this was going to be, we would have fought against the Redding Rancheria. The 28 people who were the members, who were the federally recognized members sitting among 3,000 Wintu. You know, so that's member, the wrong.
I don't want to cut you off, but I also do want to encourage that we don't continue kind of pitting against different tribes in this space. I think your discussion is highlighting a lot of kind of the real issues here, where there's major differences in status and resourcing because of history. And so I do want to acknowledge that. I did want to acknowledge too that we are a little bit past three. And so if council members do need to drop, this is the time when we said you could. So I don't want to hold you longer than we said. I do not want to cut off this conversation if there's outstanding remarks from the council. And then once the council is, you know, feels okay about where we're at with the frame of, I prefer to keep the discussion focused on, you know, whether more work needs to be done, whether a subcommittee may need to be formed. I think this is going to be a carryover item and will be probably the first item we talk about beyond, you know, agenda and the other business in the next meeting, because it seems like it's a longer discussion that folks I know have waited for. But I do also want to make sure that the folks we told that we're going to get to public comment at three aren't just kind of sitting. So Councilmember Sisk, if you'd like to continue, you may. I also know Councilmember Kessler Mata has been raising her hand as well.
Yeah, I just, you know, I just want to make sure that it isn't reduced to something that this commission should not tackle, just because it seems like it's that it's complicated, you know. And if we go back to some of those facts, we can uncomplicate it and actually do something that saves the traditions and the cultures and the things that are trying to survive into this next generation. And those kids who are unrecognized, who are dancing and carrying the songs, they are singing, they're going to those sacred places, they're hanging on to that because it's important to them. But they're also kept out of the academic because the opportunities are just not available. And so with that, you know, I see a major difference of kids from rancherias and the opportunities they get, as opposed to kids from cultural and cultural practices and the opportunities that they get. Okay,
thank
that's
you,
it.
Councilmember. Appreciate it. Councilmember Kessler Mata.
Sure. So I definitely want to echo a little bit of what Chief Sisk was saying. I think the question of status is really an organizing principle for the council, right? So it really has to play into all of the work that the different subcommittees are doing. And I think what part of my observation has been is that so far the way kind of we're working ourselves into you know, how we're going to tackle our work is through subcommittees, right? So, you know, thinking about that, each subcommittee then we could amend the bylaws or something to essentially indicate that each subcommittee has the responsibility to consider identify the unique challenges faced by all California Indians of all statuses, including recognized, unrecognized, and disenrolled, so that we're clear that that's one of the organizing principles for how we're going to do our substantive work in the subcommittees and across the council. I'm just trying to think about how to approach this, because I absolutely agree that we don't want to diminish it, but we need to make sure that it's being, it's not just subjugated to one committee, right? Like it needs to actually be something that's considered in each of the committees that we deal with. And to the extent that what CISC was indicating is that we don't yet have a subcommittee on really important issues like cultural sovereignty, like access rights. We don't yet have a subcommittee on justice matters, right? In the justice system. So those are the types of things where I feel like that's where we seem to be heading, is to doing our work in subcommittees. Maybe we need to be more intentional about that and then thinking about how this central question of status plays out in those contexts. So that's all I want to say.
Thank you, council member. And just as a quick note, I think that approach, yeah, you could go a couple of ways. Like you could have subcommittees where you have that a subcommittee that looks at every piece and then says, this is how we think that this could be done from this perspective, and here's the layer that we have to offer, or you have it embedded throughout so that throughout the process that lens is there. So just something to think about. I think Councilmember Lucas and then Councilmember Macaro.
Yeah, I just am thinking about this, you know, it's really, really, truly a complex issue. My concern collectively as Indians of this state is the emotional well-being of all of us. I think that's the core issue. You know, we see a lot of alcoholics, folks that are in drugs because they've been feeling the unself-worth, if that's a word to be said. And I think, you know, this is a truth in healing council. I'm of the opinion that we're seeking to heal those emotional wounds, and it's healthy to talk about them, but I think we really need to address the internal wound of this, and I don't know how you're going to do that. I don't pretend to be an intellect and understand that, but I've seen enough of our folks who hurt emotionally because they've been turned away supposedly from their own culture. Is that our own doing? If it is, then we need to look at ourselves and get that corrected. So that's just all I wanted to add.
Thank you, council member. And I think that's spot on in that I think how we feel about ourselves and our identities and our status is how we act and operate in the world with other Native people. And we define ourselves by how we define them. And so I think it's something we need to address. Council member Macaro?
Now, can you hear? I just want to say that a lot of the issues that were being brought up, I don't see that there's a pathway to redress that this committee or our commission has for those issues. They are outside the scope of what I think was intended by the commission. Some of the other issues we haven't even talked about, such as what Councilmember Mata brought up, and those are the kinds of things I think we're going to need to focus on. So my suggestion earlier was, you know, people will continue to make comments, especially in all the regional forums, and we should solicit them. I don't know what the end result of that is going to be. Like I said, there's no pathway to redress. But to document and then refer perhaps to some other endeavor that is external to our group here, so that we don't get bogged down. Because, you know, I as you read through all the other comments, there were a couple that said, you know, 5 years isn't going to be enough to do the work that is apparent that we need to focus on. And that said, we need to try to make that 5-year time period work for us. So I think we need to be mindful of what we take on, and because there's serious work to be done and there are deliverables that can be accomplished if we focus on those. And so I'd like us to be as efficient and smart about how we go about this. Thank you.
Thank you, council member. And then council member Burris, you raised your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something I think relates to a few of the comments that were just made. And I brought this up in, I believe, our academic subcommittee meeting, that when we kind of establish this process for figuring out who is a California Indian for purposes of some of these proposals, like maybe a tuition waiver, if that's something we end up recommending, when we figure that out, that's going to kind of help address the disenrolled people or the non-federally recognized people, because that'll really apply to them. So I just kind of want to point out that some of these subcommittee, if that's a subcommittee on its own, then it's going to be kind of directly related to the subcommittees that are related to the disenrolled folks or related to non-recognized tribes. So maybe we should be thinking about the subcommittees and how they interrelate with each other. And if there's people that are planning on sitting on more than one subcommittee, maybe they should be sitting on both of those subcommittees. Maybe someone from, you know, the subcommittee on non-federally recognized tribes or disenrolled people should definitely be one of the people sitting on the subcommittee when we're figuring out that process for figuring out how, you know, we establish who is eligible for some of the benefits we're recommending on a state level. Because, I mean, from my understanding of federal Indian law, you know, I think the state has limited influence over some of these federal processes, right, with recognition. I don't
like to think that we have authority.
But you, I think you understand what I'm getting at, though, right? I don't know what the council can accomplish. But one thing we can accomplish is establishing who a California Indian is for the purpose of some of these recommendations, right? So I'm just kind of commenting that I think we should be thinking about the subcommittees kind of grouped in that way. How do they relate? If people are sitting on more than one subcommittee, maybe it's strategic.
I agree. And I think that, you know, the couple of comments that just happened of, you know, this commission needs to get its bang for its buck. I think figuring out where you can focus your time and energy to make the most meaningful change, and then thinking about, as you and I think Councilmember Kessler Monta have mentioned, about the definition of how we define California Native person is going to be the most critical piece of figuring out how to make people whole on the reparations and restoration side of things. So I think that's just my two cents. Councilmember Bohorquez, you have some thoughts?
I do. I just want to say there's some great points that have come across from, you know, fellow council members here that were brought up. One, you know, I would go right off the back, you know, and Councilmember Burris just spoke to it, you know, as being able, the state being able to make change federally. You know, but when we look at it from the state issue, can we address some of the concerns to the non-federally recognized tribes being able to have access to land, access to gather medicine, access for ceremonial rites? I think those are things that, yes, that we can look at, but we also need to be mindful of what Assemblyman Rommel spoke to us, you know, when he says, you know, we do have a short period of time. And I think any movement, any step that we make in the right direction is a leap forward for all nations here in California, federally and non-federally recognized. We need to come together. We need to set aside our differences, those past angers, those past hurts that we all have, that we all feel. We have to be able to set them aside and say, how can we make it better for the generations that are yet to come? It's very hard to do. It really is. When we look at, okay, what is the base problem of these things? And that's why if we look at some of the things, whether it be NAGPRA, whether it being able to bring our ancestors home, utilizing CalNAGPRA, things along these lines that can be successes for future generations, I think is a great, you know, way to start, not to take away from how do we help non-federally recognized tribes get access to land, become tax exempt, to be able to get more funding, to have education for their citizens. There's so much that we can do, but we have little time, unfortunately, at this particular moment in time to be able to do it. So while I don't have all the answers, you know, I just ask that we can pray, that we ask Creator to guide us, to put those in our realm, in our path, in our walk, and remind us of the teachings that we've had so that we can come together and we can accomplish things that move us in the direction that will benefit the generations yet to come.
Thank you, Councilmember. Very well said. One thing to add where I think that the state could be better is being more educated about the differences between different things. And so, you know, when we're talking about working with elected officials of certain tribes, that's a different kind of thing from cultural practitioners or from other valid forms of engaging as Native people with the state. So I think there is an element of educating the state so that the state is addressing things appropriately and not being under-inclusive in spaces that could be something this council can think about in terms of what the state can do, at least in its space. Are there any other council member comments before we open up for general public comment, which can be to this item or can be anything that's not on the agenda as well? Okay, so at this time, it looks like there's not an action, so we'll carry it over though, in case there's further thoughts and discussion on this and thoughts about how to approach these issues that have been coming up. And we'll have this on the next agenda as well. So if we could open up into public comment, Justin, that would be great.
Okay, will do. Tony Cordero, I see your hand is raised. I'm going to allow you to speak now.
Thank you. I first want to say that I agree there are some incredibly thought-provoking comments raised and issues raised. I really want to ask the council members to think about the fact that this the council that you are sitting on right now is historic, and it is something that you can't overstate how important this is to the Native people of California. And we are really counting on you to understand how momentous your task is. I would encourage you to not to let outside forces restrict what you think you should do, and remind you that we can't get. I totally understand that folks want to be able to come up with remedies, and that you really want to be able to do something that you see will actually have some meaningful impact on people. But that's the healing. And before we can get to the healing, we need to do the truth part of your mission. You have to get the truth out. And that's, I think, what came through to me when Christina was going through the reports from the past several months, is that's what people were saying they want you to do, is they want you to tell the truth, make people hear the truth about what happened to our people and what is still happening to our people. And that's important, even if you can't solve the problem, even if the resolution or the remedy is beyond the scope of your authority and on this council, it's still imperative that you get that truth out in the public and out in the open and make people confront it who have tried to sweep it under the rug for so long. So that's my comment. We're hearing, it's not surprising. We're hearing that there may be very different perspectives on these, depending on whether the perspectives coming from somebody from a federally recognized tribe or a non-recognized tribe. Certainly for non-recognized tribes, this council is even in some ways even more important because they don't have access to the same resources. They don't have access to the same political clout, as reflected by the fact that even though, as Chief Sisk said, we have we outnumber citizens of recognized tribes, recognized tribes have twice the representation on this council as non-recognized tribes. So non-recognized tribes, I think, are relying even more on this council to help fill the void that has been out there for so long. So I just throw that out there and hope you will not limit yourself just based on what you think you can solve. I think telling the truth is one of the most important steps.
Okay, thanks, Tony. Sarah, I'm going to allow you to speak now.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for your time, by the way, and everything that you have said and spoken and been bringing to attention. I'm really grateful for. So I would like to just address a couple things that are close to my heart. So I believe that, like many of the brothers and sisters have already spoken, as long as we are unrecognized, our people's needs will continue to be neglected, and thus their livelihood and culture will always be at risk. Every day that goes by, these tribes are not recognized. Their culture dies just a little bit more. And although there are many of us that are actively seeking to keep that culture alive, that information and livelihood of that information too is little by little being suppressed and just diminished. So it is really important that I believe that we have a system in place that prioritizes the collection of data of these Indigenous people, being that we're scattered now all over, especially for those that are unrecognized. I think it would be imperative that we create an intake form, if you would, that then goes into a funnel of some sorts, and that can not only be a place where that information is held, but then, you know, the council can use that information to hopefully create systems that will have funding that is, you know, directed accordingly. So then, yes, we can organize that data that we create or that we obtain to create direct funding for these tribes that have been existing independently so, and making the best out of the poorest of circumstances to keep their culture and their people alive. So with that being said too, in addition to an intake form being in place and some sort of email capturing system is also something that I think is really important, which then basically entails a budget for marketing, which is almost imperative for this to be something that is immediately put into practice. We live in a world now where technology is just amply available. You know, even if someone just has a phone, they have access to internet more times than not. Even creating an SMS system where text messages can go out as reminders to these tribal members. We have to be doing more to get these attentions. These calls should be flooded with hundreds and hundreds of people, because my people are still alive and other tribal members are still alive all over. They just don't know that this council exists. So because there's these meetings aren't flooded with people, I have to then question the marketing strategies that are set in place. I would definitely like to volunteer firsthand. Marketing is something that I specialize in. I could absolutely be of service and of assistance, and I would donate my services, of course, to create and work with the council if they so wish to have an email marketing system that captured these emails and then set into out reminders weekly, biweekly for events and all of the things, if that isn't in place. And if it is in place in some way, shape, or form, perfecting it and making it even better so that we can reach all people. Thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. Kathy, I'm going to allow you to speak now.
Hilly, Kathy Corey, Chancy. First of all, I would like to thank Governor Newsom and this council for giving a forum to all Indian people here in California. Because truthfully, as Chief Sisk highlighted, there are far more unrecognized and disenrolled tribal people here in California than there are federally recognized. I, as only one of several thousand California Indians who have had their tribal, civil, and human rights violated and their very identity stolen, I'm here to say that there will be no truth and healing in California Indian country or in Indian country throughout Turtle Island without addressing this subject. In order to keep it short and sweet, I fully support this council creating a subcommittee that deals specifically with non-recognition and or tribal disenrollment, either separately or together. because truthfully, what is going on here with disenrollments and non-recognition and the difficulty of getting recognized is something that was set up by federal policy, but was fully aided and abetted by the state of California in the way they went about the genocide of our Native people here. And what you see in terms of the lateral violence with our people was indeed created by that, because you have a whole set of people that have full ability to do these same things to their own people and to unrecognized tribes because of the internal structures that have been made that are totally non-traditional in terms of Indian country and behavior. So this is a California issue. And I just hope that this entire council continues to think of and remember the fact that we are still here. When you talk about the future generations and making things better for the future generations, in the current structure, it is only making things better for the future generations of federally recognized tribes, because the rest of us don't have a voice. This is one place in which we have been actually allowed to bring up our concerns and to make our presence known and all of the things that are affecting us. So I hope and pray, and I lift all of my prayer that this will continue to be discussed and addressed here. Because as I said, there will be no truth and no healing in California Indian country until that is accomplished. Michkeas, thank you.
Thank you. Cameron, I'm going to allow you to speak now.
Hello, can everyone hear me?
Loud and clear.
Hi, I just want to say that this is amazing what we are accomplishing in Indian country today. We are at a crossroads with everything going on with saving our planet, saving our lands, protecting our lands, bringing healing to the spirits of these children that were murdered at the hands of the government in these residential schools. I am a disenrolled Indian from Redding Rancheria. My grandfather was Bob Foreman Sr. And we're at a crossroads in our society as Native Americans that we can bring healing to everyone. I could come out the other way and attack people, but I will not do that. We're all one family. We're all related. I found out a few months ago that Chief Colleen Sixth's uncle and my grandfather worked together to bring Native American health care to Indians in Northern California. I've seen so many stories of people helping each other and being for each other. And 4 years ago, Robinson Rancheria, under the guidance of former Chairman Eddie Crandell, fought to bring back over 70 members that were disenrolled. And it brought so much acclaim and praise. And to any leaders who are part of tribes that have disenrolled members, whatever happened, happened. But what we can move forward from it. We can bring healing to our people, doing the right thing. And remember that we are all related. We are all relations.
Cameron, I'm sorry, but you're cutting out pretty bad. Okay, I'm going to move on to Jeannie and Alice. I'm going to allow you to speak now.
Thank you, and thank you for this wonderful opportunity. I thought it was a great thing to see this historic commission become a part of something that's very significant and to have a voice for all of California Indians. I am non-native. My husband is of the Yurok and Caddo people and Pomo, and we've been married many years. I currently work as an ICWA representative and fighting for the rights of children. I have seen children not have the protections of ICWA because they are not federally recognized or their parent is not enrolled, but they do have lineal descendancy, and trying to fight hard for those voices to be heard, to protect the children and their cultures, try to find tribally approved homes for them to reside in with relatives who are living on rancherias and reservations. Although it's important to shed light on all the atrocities that the United States government and the California state government has done to Native people, we cannot have a full truth and healing or a reconciliation without addressing and correcting the devastating effects of every single negative action that these things have done. And for years, this legislation and tribal groups have sat back while countless victims have been at the hands of tribes through disenrollment, moratoriums, reclassifications, other forms of disenfranchise, including the tribes being unrestored after termination and then those tribes that never gained recognition to begin with, but they were here for centuries. You look about all of this stuff. It took nearly over a century for California to make a stand against the United States on behalf of California Indians. And that was after decades of failed promises and lost treaties by Congress. And we were proud of California for standing and making a pact and making things happen for California Indians. But the pain of hearing the elder stories today, the pain of watching children slip through the cracks and being adopted, the continued generations of trauma handed down first by the federal government, then by the state governments, now by their tribal governments, it ceases to bring any kind of normality that I can even find within my heart. I see the stolen children. I've seen the rapes. I've seen the murder. We've lost nieces and nephews to drugs and alcohol and murder because of being missing and stolen. And now we're seeing their culture and heritage. So I ask yourselves, to ask you, each and every one of you, what if I was in this place? What if it was me being disenrolled or my tribe being terminated? Just think about that. But thank you for taking the moment to hear me. And I hope that we can find a way to protect our children and the future generations to come.
Thank you. Rick, I'm going to allow you to speak now. Rick, you may need, there you go.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you for allowing me to speak as well. As your previous commenters have mentioned, there are so many of us who have been disenrolled from our tribes. Alice, who spoke just before, had kept a record. There was over 11,000 natives who have been disenrolled from their tribes. I currently publish a blog, Original Pechanga Blog, which details the disenrollment actions across the country and also explains what has happened in specifically some tribes like Paula and my own Pechanga, how we were, our evidence was denied to over some hearsay evidence by somebody who was in prison for child molestation. Should be embarrassing enough. There are things that we should be able to do. One is to speak out against the action of disenrollment. A sovereign right to abuse your own people does not make the action right. And that's what we're looking to stand up against. And the way to do that is to expose the action. You can't turn your head and say sovereignty and think that was right. Otherwise, we should have turned our heads on South Africa for running an apartheid nation, yet we didn't. We stood up against that hateful action and helped bring that action down. Yet my family, who resides on our original allotment from 1895 at Pechanga, have to come in through a separate entrance. They cannot use the facilities without a tribal member. Many have been living on that reservation before half of the tribe was even born. Those kind of things need to be exposed before they can be healing. When you have one family that has kicked out parts of their extended family, it should be a shameful occurrence and something that should be exposed and not turn their heads. When you have a tribal leader like that from Paula, who changes the blood quantum of people in order to disqualify them for membership in the tribe, that should be exposed. And I would appreciate all your council members coming to my website, originalpechanga.com. And on the upper left corner, there's a tab there where you can click on the meme, and that will take you to 50 different stories of disenrollment, not only my own tribe of Pechanga, but all of the statewide California tribes. So please take the time to look at that. And thank you all for having this commission. And it was good to see some of you last week. And I will look forward to following your progress against this hateful action of disenrollment.
Thank you. Della, I'm going to allow you to speak now.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
So I am also, well, first I want to say thank you all for your time volunteering for this council. I am also a disenrolled tribal member, and we're also original Lattes from our tribe. Who don't have a voice in a lot of things, including our water rights. And we're able to bring, like to get new housing onto our land. There's a lot of rights that are taken away from us as original Lattes by being disenrolled. So I think it's very important that this council does establish a place where, or a voice for us, because we have no voice anywhere for our issues to be addressed. Outside of our tribe, who doesn't address those issues. So land, water, all those things would apply to us as original Lattes, but we're disenrolled, so we have no voice. So I think it's very important that this committee does take that into account when establishing these subcommittees in all areas of the subcommittees. That's all, thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any more hands. Okay, I see two more hands. Hold on 1 second. Okay, Ken Woodrow, I'm going to allow you to speak. Ken, you may need to unmute yourself. There you go. Yeah, good.
Yeah, I'm looking at this whole heading, California's Truth and Healing Council. First, we've got to get to the first part.
Ken, we're having trouble hearing you.
How about now?
Much better.
Okay, I had to get you off my Bluetooth. yeah, I look at this California Truth and Healing. Look at the truth part. We need to really go back in time and start off with those treaties. California hid those treaties. We all know that. There were things promised on these treaties. And once California realized what they were giving up for our reservation, it was too massive. They're giving up too much resources, water, timber, mineral rights. So they hid them. They hit him for a long time until 1905. what resources were taken from us. You know, how much money was through logging, mineral, water, hydroelectric, you know, facilities, dams. You know, I've worked with, you know, power companies, and, you know, they have a lot of interest in those waters. But getting back to the truth part is, we need to understand the truth part. We need to expose what did California do to us? You know, like other times I spoke about, you know, boarding school. I agree. You know, with the person I spoke earlier, it was a three-prong effect on us, federal, state, and county. We need to show state recognition, a process for that. And as a tribe, just like all the other tribes that are fairly recognized, we could deal with our issues. But there has to be some sort of accountability at the state level, because it's really hard for us to get funding. Just like, you know, there's a lot of grants for federal, you know, federal entities. As myself, I deal with over 80 different agencies within the state of California, dealing with, you know, anything to do with CEQA. You know, most of our land's in federal hands. It's something that really needs to be looked at. Criteria to create state recognition. Other states have it. It may be a negative in the sense of federal recognition. You know, federal government may come back and say, well, you know, you got what you got from the state. But it's a process of healing. We all know the atrocities that were done. You know, we were hunting down. We were, you know, we had those hunting parties from the 1860s. Most of our people were put in boarding schools or put in prison. So to me, it's not us against fairly recognized tribes. It's about what's owed to the tribes that exist today. You know, from 1850 till now, that's a long time for us to exist. You know, we are linear descents from the signature treaties. You know, so I have six recognized tribes around me, be it rancherias or executive order tribes. It's really hard to communicate. Because we don't have a voice at the federal level. Even state money goes to federal projects. The state says, okay, it's the land where it lands at. If it's a federal project, it's federal. It's not state. Even though we may have, we need to get, we need to get some form of state recognition. We're not fighting against the recognized tribes. You know, I do have issues with them, but that's my issues with them. But the state, this whole commission was created and council was created for us. And I see a good idea is to form a state recognition process. I have no problem showing our ancestry going back to allotment land schools and such. So I'm really hoping that we get a council to deal with state recognition. Basically, that's, you know, then we'll deal with our healing process. Because you got to understand is I'm a son of an allottee, you know, a grandson of an allottee, but I'm also a son of a boarding school victim. So I know what was happening there. I know from my elders. That's where I spent most of my youth talking to elders.
Ken, I'm sorry, but we're out of time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't look at the clock.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'm going to allow Marissa Sullivan to speak.
Hello, everybody. My name is Marissa Sullivan. I'm the tribal chair for the Coastal Band of the Chumash Nation, one of the many non-federally recognized tribes in California. I hope that one outcome of this commission, which is daunting, I understand the different matters that you are attempting to address, and all with a good heart, I know. I hope that the commission is able to come up with a solution that addresses what all of these strong voices have said today. And so something that, you know, I just think something must be done to create a path that gives as much status to the non-federally recognized tribes like the group that I represent and I'm the tribal chair for, I think that there should be as much status and as the current federally recognized tribes receive. Because unfortunately, being listed on the NAHC list as we are is just not quite good enough, unfortunately. So I would echo all of the voices that we've been all hearing that something along that line would be imperative. And I do understand there's many issues that people have in their family stories or family histories and currently what they're dealing with. Lots going on. Not only that, but we're still in a pandemic and we are seeing our lands just go away so quickly due to the climate chaos that we're all having to live with now. So I hope that we can all, you know, continue to work towards this, that there's some really good voices, very involved people. And I'd like to see that we're able to come together so that we can all work towards dealing with the new world that we're all going to have to live with after all of this is done and as we're living through it. So thank you again. That's it. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Cameron, I see your hand is raised. I'm going to allow you to speak.
Hello. Thank you again for allowing me to speak. I was told my connection went out about a minute 30 in, just making sure my main message came through, if that's possible. Hello?
We did hear the first probably minute 30. And then it faded out.
Yeah, I think it was my connection or something wrong with the server. But like I said, I don't want to touch up too much on it. But I just wanted to say, like, we are at a crossroads of doing the right thing and bringing healing to the spirits of our children who were murdered at the hands of our government in these residential schools, our ancestors who fought so hard to bring us what we have today. They fought hard through the getting federally recognized, fighting for state recognition, fighting for water rights, for land rights, and just bringing healing to everybody. Federally recognized, non-recognized, we're all one family. We're all relations. All my relations is what I was told so much growing up. And I don't know if anyone heard what I said about Robinson Rancheria bringing back over 70 members of their tribe were disenrolled through the work of former chairman Eddie Crandell, and the acclaim and praise they got was amazing. And just to all, you know, I'm not attacking anybody. I'm not going to attack anyone, but any tribal leaders who are listening to this, who in the past, their tribe has disenrolled members. Imagine the healing we can bring back to our people, to those people, to their spirits, of their ancestors and elders who walked on without seeing their names restored. I saw what disenrollment did to my grandfather, and the pain in his eyes, what I saw, I would not wish upon anybody. So, like I said, we're at a crossroads of healing. The way things are going across the country and across the world through our neighbors and family to the north in Canada, just to this council and to all who are listening, you know, thank you for everyone, what we're doing. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I don't see any more hands raised.
Great. Thank you, Justin. And thank you all for joining us here today. It was a really good discussion, really fruitful, and we're very glad that the majority of our council members were able to stay on. So thank you all for your time. We appreciate you all. Councilmember Lucas, do you maybe want to have some final thoughts?
Yeah, it's number one, thank you for asking me. I've been listening to all of this afternoon, and of course it concerns me. I don't know. It's a big, 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 big task. How do you make everybody happy? We're given what we have on a daily basis by our Creator. I don't think we need to sit back and be passive about that. I do think we need to correct the wrongs that have happened. I worry about us sometimes waddling too much in genocide. I've been criticized for saying that, but I say it because I want us to be healthy. I think we need to look towards the future. It's interesting, the young Indians that I come in contact with want to look to the future. They don't want to look to the past and to the dead. And so finding that balance to where we can correct a wrong, and like I said earlier, really heal the emotional wounds that exist in so many folks is something that I hope that we're able to achieve. So that's my constant prayer. And again, thank you for that. And I wish you all well. Thank you.
Thank you, council member. So that concludes today's meeting. Thank you all for your time. And I will send you some documents in the near term for review. Take care.